Welcome to the Beltway Broadcast, the premier podcast for the workplace learning and talent development professionals of the Association for Talent Development's Metro DC chapter. We've got some great resources in store for you today.
Hello, fellow ATDers. I'm Stephanie Hubka, and I am the managing partner of Protos Learning, as well as a chapter past president and a member of the Pod Squad here at the Metro DC chapter of ATD. Along with me is our producer, Helena Hodges. Now, I'm usually joined by my co-host, Chris Eanes, who unfortunately isn't here with us today, but I am very excited to be welcoming not one, but two guests this week. During this episode, we will be talking with Kelly Jones and Jody Lumsden. Welcome, Kelly and Jody.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
I am just so thrilled that you're here. We're talking about one of my absolute favorite topics, mostly due to the sheer importance of this topic. We're talking about needs assessment on a shoestring this week. Now, before we get started, I would love it if both of you would tell us a little bit about yourselves. And Jody, why don't we start with you?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Jody Lumsden. I'm a consultant, speaker, and facilitator. My expertise is in developing and implementing strategy with data-driven performance metrics to match. My areas of expertise cover adult learning, workplace learning, change management, and coaching. And I'm super excited to be joined with my friend and co-author of the needs assessment book, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jones. I am a researcher, an organizational and leadership development consultant, a curriculum scholar slash geek, and a lot of my experience is in needs assessment, curriculum development, adult learning, and inclusive leadership development. So the DEIB, the diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging umbrella, is really, really important to me, and it kind of serves as an overarching lens for all of the work that I do.
That's fantastic. That is a really essential topic. In fact, it's really interesting to hear just the wealth of knowledge that both of you have in a lot of different aspects of our profession. And that's why I'm really excited to hear more about needs assessment from both of you. And I think where I'd love to start is maybe even a little bit more at the beginning than we usually do when we hop into podcast conversations. The two of you have written a book, Needs Assessment on a Shoestring. Makes sense that that's the title of today's conversation. I would love to hear a little bit from you about the genesis of that. How did you first come to realize this was important? How did you partner up together to produce this book?
Yeah, you know, I love the story because it's Kelly and I have worked together, and we've been colleagues, friends, mentor, mentee, you know, for many, many years now. And writing a book together was always sort of like, we're going to do that. We're going to do this together. So it's really sort of surreal to be able to sit here and to share, you know, what experiences we've had over the years together. So it came about, you know, our first project together was a needs assessment. And at the time, I was more of a junior level instructional designer, focusing primarily in e-learning and, you know, kind of the development space of it. And I was super interested in, you know, kind of the more strategy and that sort of component. And, you know, through like a mentor-mentee relationship, Kelly was leading a project for an organization, and she was doing it on a shoestring. She was doing it as a team of one. And I was one of those people that were able to, she was able to leverage to help it out. Hopefully Kelly's review maybe.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Jody was amazing. It was a huge needs assessment project. I think we ended up having 350 participants in various focus groups and interviews. And so Jody was interested in needs assessment, came in and just rocked it. And she's a brilliant graphic designer, a visual that just skill set I can't even draw stick people. And Jody helped me visualize the data and visualize the results. And is far more skilled at being concise than I am. And has just this wonderful creative approach to anything that she works on, and just the best energy, and she was so much fun to work with. And so I think it was 10 years later, we were presenting together at a conference, and it was the first one, like after COVID, we're all just, this was like the first conference in a few years. We were super excited. Jody had just finished her doctoral degree, so we were going to get to celebrate that in person together. And ATD emailed me and said, we've kicking off this brand new On a Shoestring series. We really want to look at needs assessment. And based on what you're presenting and your background, you know, would you be interested? Well, I've wanted to write a book since I was old enough to understand that books were written by people. And so at first I thought I was being pranked, like somehow, because these emails don't just show up, right? I was like, okay, ha, 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 whatever. Well, it was legit. And so I, you know, immediately replied and said, absolutely. And I have a co-author, if she's willing, and texted Jody and said, hey, that book that we've been wanting to write forever, you want to make it this one? And this book would not be what it is without Jody's creativity, without her visual design, without her ability to cut the number of many words that I would often use to say things. So it was just the best collaborative experience. And I wish more people would write books together. I think that different perspectives, multiple experiences, it just adds so much, because there's not one way to do a needs assessment. And a needs assessment is never a solitary project. It can't be. So a collaborative book was just the perfect way to do that.
I love the fact that it was collaborative. And I also really love what you said about needs assessments requiring a certain level of collaboration. So, Kelly, I think if it's all right with you, we'll stick with you for my next question. I would love to know a little bit about maybe the higher level of needs assessments. Why are they so important for organizations and for training teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the very bare bones, a needs assessment is a structured investigation.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a process to find answers to problems before we invest in solutions. Mm-hmm. And that includes defining problems, getting very clear on what we're actually trying to solve. Because so often people will see a problem and immediately jump to a solution. And we're not even 100% clear that we're solving the actual issue that's going on or what that is.
Yeah.
So a needs assessment is a really structured, process-driven way to get clarity around what problem are we actually solving? What is it going to take to solve it? And how will we know that the problem has actually been solved before we invest in training or new solutions or change management or any of those other things?
Yeah.
And because you're investigating, you have to ask a lot of questions. So if you're conducting a needs assessment, you yourself are a research instrument. And that requires you to collaborate with the people that are participating in that work. You need their perspectives. You need the context. You need data that already exists. You need to hear from the people that are impacted by that problem and the people that have stakes in solving it. And so it is never a solo activity. It just can't be.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And Jody, I'd be interested in your thoughts on that too. What has collaboration looked like or felt like for you when you're thinking about some of the needs assessment projects that you've been part of?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think, you know, as a practitioner, one of the things that I remember maybe not struggling with, but just wishing for was just strategic relevance within the business and being able to align with those bigger business goals. Sometimes designers or learning professionals may feel like they're the order takers and they're sort of given like, hey, I need this. And I need it on this deadline. And I think the needs assessment, you know, really helps to solidify our role in sort of those strategic plans. Because once we can identify what is needed, we can actually say, here's when we know we've done it. Or we can't find, you know, if we implement this, we can't track it or we can't have the data behind it. And I think that's just really critical in today's organizations. We don't have excess time or money or capacity to do the wrong thing or and to not be able to show where our impact lies. And so a lot of times, you know, you'll hear people say, you know, needs assessments are slow or they take up too much time. And this is one of those cases where you need to slow down to speed up. And being able to advocate for a needs assessment, it may not be months, you know, it may not be a year long. You just gather a little bit more information than you did the last time. And you'll eventually start having this really business savvy mindset that then you can really start influencing those strategic goals and be seen as that strategic partner down the road.
Yeah. And I think as our industry has become more data driven, that so much of that business relevance that Jody was talking about is now something challenging for a lot of learning and development or talent development practitioners and leaders. And one of the kind of, and it always makes me laugh to say this because I am a hardcore researcher, but needs assessment is process driven 100%, but it is ultimately a mindset and it's a perspective that comes before the process. Having a needs assessment perspective changes everything. So in the learning and development space, most of us are in this work because we want to help. We want to produce things that are helpful. We get asked to do something. We immediately say yes. One of the biggest mindset shifts is to stop saying yes and to stop asking why. Wow. And that is how you kind of open that door to tying needs assessment to strategy and to then the outcomes that impact the organization.
That's an incredible perspective to challenge each of us to consider and then incorporate into our work. Because I think you're right. A lot of times it's maybe even desirable, not just easy, but it feels better to say yes to things. You need a training program? Sure, absolutely. You don't want to be seen as someone who's going to be resistant to something. But what I love is that thought that, sure, you might end up saying yes, but really you should be asking why. You should be starting with a question first in order to understand where that real impact might be. Now, I'll ask this question of you, Kelly, and then I'd love to hear from you too, Jody. As far as resistance goes, certainly talent development practitioners, instructional designers, developers, wherever you might happen to be, you may have some questions and you may think, well, it's important to slow down and ask them. I'd love to hear about your experience or maybe your recommendations or strategies for managers or leaders or others who want to skip the very important step of conducting a needs assessment because we don't have time or we don't have the space or we don't have the money or whatever it might happen to be. Kelly, what would you say to someone who's encountering, you know, that kind of a barrier in their role?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the barrier is very real.
Yeah.
and I think that this is an opportunity to do the work under a different label. So we can accomplish the goals of a needs assessment without using needs assessment language.
Ooh.
So if you're talking to a busy stakeholder or a business partner, you can say, before we kick this off, I would like to have a scope setting discussion.
Yep.
Or I would like to do a project intake meeting. And you don't even have to say needs assessment because that immediately can sound like it's going to drag on forever. It's going to be super slow. It's going to be super expensive. And sometimes depending on the scale of the project, you can get the questions you need answered quickly. Yeah. Right. And so if you think about it like an iceberg, a lot of the work of the needs assessment is done under the surface. You don't necessarily have to present all of that to every stakeholder.
Right.
You can guide them along. Right. And that's part of leading with influence is sort of knowing what needs to be done behind the scenes to support that work.
Yeah.
And you don't have to introduce it in such a structured, formal way.
Yep.
So I've had a lot of success getting the work of a needs assessment done without actually calling it a needs assessment.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Jody, I'm curious, any other thoughts or strategies as far as the experience that you've had?
Yeah, I think you're spot on that regard, Kelly, because I mean, I think that's sort of when you're stepping into sort of that learning development consulting role, right? Like you are kind of going through the steps in your head, but what you do with the client and how you interface with them feels really fluid. It feels light. It feels like, oh, they're just curious about me and my business objectives. And I think that practice takes some time. But if you never do a needs assessment, you never get that practice. And so I would say, you know, even if you just try a little bit, you know, a lot of business stakeholders don't really like being questioned why. So think of alternative question structures. That's not like, you know, the toddler, like, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Get creative in thinking, you know, how can you talk about it and ask those probing questions in a conversational, you know, listen with intent to understand, those types of things. So that's sort of one aspect of it. I also think, you know, with any type of change, it's difficult. And if yeah. if you have set clients you work with, maybe you're embedded in a business line, or you have, you know, clients that you've worked with for ever and ever and ever, this is going to feel like you don't trust them, or that there's some sort of, you know, misstep in the relationship. And so in those situations, I think, you know, just making them really aware as to why you're doing it and what's the benefits for them. I think a lot of times we sort of assume that they get it, but again, reframing it, not in sort of that instructional designer or learning development way, and use the terms that are maybe specific for us in our industry, but flip it, right? And think about why this would be good time spent for your business line, because you don't want to waste their resources. You want to make sure you have really great measures. You know, you want to understand why things aren't happening right now. You know, if they have access to information, tools, all the things they need, why is it not clicking? You know, and that's when you can really start to get specific with your solutions and feel like that partner. But you may have to work a little, get creative with how you talk about it. But I think, you know, you have to kind of do a little bit of that change management piece, because it's going to be a little different. And they need to know, you know, the what's in it for them.
You know, it's incredible to listen to both of you sharing more about what really goes into a needs assessment. Because I think for a lot of us, we think, well, it's data collection. You know, we're trying to make a case, or, you know, figure out whether or not something is necessary or if it'll work. But what I'm hearing too is it's about communication. It's about leadership. There's emotional intelligence that's incorporated. How are you messaging what you need to share with someone? How are you ensuring that, you know, communication and change management are part of this? So it's fascinating to think about it as being so multidimensional in a way that probably a lot of us have not really considered before.
Yeah, you know,
yeah. And I think
we love this. I think from my perspective, what's really interesting, I think, and what I loved about when we were writing the book, I'm an individual contributor. So I'm a consultant in my primary role. And so I don't necessarily have the position power, you know, to do sure. certain things. And so when you look back, you know, and if you use something like the ATD capability model, you know, you really need to lean on those organizational savvy pieces and the interpersonal pieces, because if you don't have the influence and you don't own the data, then you really have to be thoughtful about, you know, who you contact, how you contact them, and know that all that stuff's really important while staying true to your goal as efficiently as possible, right? Because you are collecting data. But, you know, in that type of scenario, imagine you are a business area, you have metrics, right, that show your performance, and someone's asking you, just hand those over, you know, let me do some analysis on them, let me see what's wrong with you. You know, we would never say that, but that could feel like a perception, right, that put yeah. people in a little bit of a weird spot. So that's why you're right. You really kind of sit back and be like, did I give them all the information? Do they know my intent? And do they know how this could be beneficial for them and help our working relationship? So,
yeah, I love that.
You have other thoughts kind of with your experience, but.
Yeah. And I think part of it is a little bit of mindset shift or internal shift from your role as a talent development professional or as a practitioner conducting a needs assessment, is the shift from the value that I bring lies in my productivity
yep.
to I am a steward of this organization.
Mm.
And stewardship is a very different perspective, because your goal is not always just to get things done or to get things produced, right? You're yeah. asking the questions, what will best serve this organization? What will best serve this team that I'm supporting? And you can't answer those questions without really good data. And you can't get really good data without a great needs assessment.
Wow. It's incredible to listen, really, to both of you share these insights. It's so easy to slip into that order taker mindset. And I think really what you have done is established the foundation for why not only should you not do that, it's really important to make sure that you are, you know, stepping onto that first step in, you know, of the ladder, which is making sure that you've got the data, the information, the resources in order to make sure that you're going to develop something that's going to be very meaningful and valuable for your team, your organization, you know, whomever might benefit from all of the great work that would come. We have a few final questions for you today, but before we get into one of our favorite subjects, our rapid fire questions, I'd love it if both of you really could tell us a little bit more about, first of all, where we can learn more. I know you've mentioned you have this great book. We'd love to learn about where we might be able to get access to it. And if there are any final thoughts or tips that we might need to know when it comes to needs assessments, we would love to know those too. So Kelly, why don't we start with you?
Okay. So I brought a copy of the book because it is super fun to hold. It did not feel real until we opened the actual box.
It's a
needs assessment on a shoestring. I am not a marketer. I am terrible at sales. So I'm selling Jody's book because Jody wrote an amazing book. And you can find it on Amazon and ATD's websites, published by ATD Press, Barnes & Noble's, anywhere else that books are sold.
Got it.
And I think one of the really great things just to know about this book is it is designed as a resource. Mm. You don't have to read it cover to cover. You can flip to the exact section that you need. It's full of tools and strategies and tips. And one of my favorite kind of threads throughout this book are just these shortcut questions that you can ask. So we'll give away a couple here just for fun. Oh. But if you have to do like a light informal needs assessment and you don't have a lot of time, I would always encourage everybody to ask, how do you know that this is a problem? How long has it been happening? And what have we already done to try to solve it? So many projects kick off and we don't have the context. We don't know what the organization has already thrown at this problem. And so those are kind of three of my favorite shortcut questions.
Oh, gosh, those are fantastic. All right, Jody.
Yeah, those are great ones. Yes. And, you know, what I love about the book, and I hope that y'all will take advantage of, is that it's written from two very different perspectives. So Kelly is a researcher and she is really, really great about that. She thinks about projects in that lens. And that's one of the things I loved about learning and growing with her. I wouldn't say I'm a researcher by nature, but I'm a creative. I'm a people person kind of a thing. So as you go through the book, you'll often hear examples coming from those two perspectives. So hopefully there's a little bit for everyone. And if you're apprehensive or when you've never done a needs assessment, you're like, that sounds great, but I don't know what it looks like, feels like, whatever. Y'all, Kelly really pushed hard for having a complete example of a needs assessment front to back in the back of the book. So if you read a section that talks about, you know, conducting research and looking at it from a qualitative lens, that sounds really heavy. It's not. Kelly gave you an example in the back. So she really advocated for that. And that I think is one of the best highlights of the book. So I hope y'all grab a copy and check that out and let us know if it's helpful. We're both on LinkedIn. Yes. Our name's Kelly Jones. I'm Jody Lumsden and we'd love to talk with y'all and engage with you. So reach out.
I love that. I'm excited to get my copy. And I will tell you, I do a lot of needs assessments in my work. And I feel like I have so much I am going to learn from both of you. So I'm thrilled we had a chance to talk about needs assessments. But as our viewers and our listeners know, we always save our three hardest questions for the very end of our episodes. So we're moving into what we love to call our rapid fire segment. I'm going to ask each of you three questions in order. You'll have about 60 seconds or so to respond. A little more, a little less is all right with us. But what do you think? Are you both ready for a little rapid fire?
Absolutely.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, Kelly, since you you were the vocal one in that response, we're going to start with you, if it's all right. Give us one book that everyone must read and why.
Okay. So I would say Lead from the Outside by Stacey Abrams. Mm. And I love this book for many reasons. It is written by and for someone who is not traditionally tapped for a leadership position. It is a wonderful exercise in inclusive leadership. It's also a very powerful memoir. But in there, Stacey shares as when she went to law school, she was a research assistant. And one of her professors broke down the entire purpose and process of research into three questions. What is the problem? How do you know? And how do you solve it? And I said, it's needs assessment right there.
Look at that. Built-in. Look at that.
It's fantastic. So it's a great book. Highly, highly encourage people to read it.
Oh, that is a really good choice. Great one. All right, Jody, what do you have for us?
Okay. Mine's probably pretty popular with folks, but Atomic Habits, James Clear is the author of that. And yeah. You know, you talk about a hands-on breakdown of just how to help make good new habits and how to break the bad ones. I think it's just so perfect. A lot of people can benefit from it. Super easy read. So Atomic Habits.
That's a great one as well. I've read bits and pieces of that and I agree with you completely. It can be a really good changing book for people. All right, Jody, let's stick with you for question two. What is one tool that you can't live without?
Mm. Well, I would say my phone, and this is why. Mm-hmm. I think the power of human connection and having a support group is huge. And if it's Kelly, you know, living across the United States from me, or if it's other folks, I think that's just so powerful in today's world and having a support network that they're rooting for you, supporting you. That's mine.
I have to agree with you there. My phone is never far away. So same reasons. That's great. All right, Kelly, what about you?
Also a phone, definitely. But my favorite, that thing on my phone that I use the most is the Libby audiobook app through the public library. And I love audiobooks. It's what gets me through my commute and travel and walks. And I go through so many audiobooks. It is free from the library. They are delivered to your phone. It is amazing. So Libby app, public libraries, thank you for providing that content. I love audiobooks. So I'm grateful for it every day.
Yep. Yeah, I just learned about that myself. It's been a game changer for sure. So that's a really good suggestion. All right, Kelly, we will stay with you for our final rapid fire question. And it's this, and it's the tough one. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Okay, so I'm going to show my true colors as an academic geek. But Dr. Theodorea Berry, who is my qualitative methodologist professor, and the person who encouraged me to become a researcher, taught me that ontology is what you know. Epistemology is how you know. And paradigms are the ways you think about what you know. And you should constantly question all three. Because if you continually ask yourself, why do I think I know this? Do I know this? How do I feel about what I think I know? Then you are always a lifelong learner. All the time, and you're constantly questioning your own perspective. So that stuck with me, and it's just a framework that I fall back on all the time.
I think that's going to stick with me too. Wow, those are really powerful questions to ask, especially for any of us. And I think so many of us in the field consider ourselves to be lifelong learners, and we are. Those are definitely three questions that will keep you in that space. That's incredible. Jody,
yeah, that's
what
amazing.
Would you like to add?
My head's kind of swirling, but you know, it's true. I love, it's like growth mindset, you know, and I love that, Kelly. So my favorite quote, probably pretty similar in terms of like, or like where it came from in terms of Kelly, but my dissertation, dissertation chair, Dr. Hart, loved experiencing, you know, kind of that wisdom from someone that's done it, and has guided a lot of people through the process of something really difficult like that. But basically he was just like, you know, life conditions are never going to be perfect. And you need to do the hard stuff anyway. And, you'll find a way to make the stuff work. And, I think, you know, my life conditions have rarely been perfect, you know, where like the runway has been cleared to do whatever you want to do. But you do, you as a human being and as a resourceful person, you figure it out. And I think people in our industry are, that's another superpower beyond lifelong learning is just like, you know, we can do big things. Some are needs assessments by ourselves, and then some are maybe a professional development kind of piece of it, but, you'll make it work. You'll make it work.
Beautifully said. It reminds me of something that I read once in a while and remember quite often, which is you've lived through every bad day and bad experience you've had. And it really does speak to the fact that, yeah, we're always growing and changing. There's always more to learn. And I think that's why so many of us love what we do. It's why we're here. It's why we listen to podcasts like this for great conversations with people like both of you, Kelly and Jody. I can't thank you enough for, in a big way, humanizing needs assessments, taking it away from just numbers and, you know, all of the stuff that frankly, for many of us, you know, can feel a little bit boring and a little bit challenging. And instead, not just reminding us of the importance, but letting us know we can do it. So thank you both so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you for that lovely summary of our work. Like that's the best description we could ever ask for.
It's very true. And I think it's a reason that so many of our friends who are joining us to listen or watch today are going to be in touch and are probably getting out there to get a copy of that book so that they can do the same things with these assessments that both of you have talked about today. And speaking of all of you, thank you so much to all of you in our community for listening and watching. And before you go, we have a message from our producer, Helena Hodges.
Whether you are a member of our chapter or not, we have resources for you. Go to dcatd.org and choose the chapter bulletin board to read our blog, access the member spotlight, and learn more about how TD professionals spend their time.
Would you like to be even more involved in our wonderful community? Go to dcatd.org and click on Volunteer to get started.